Welcome to the Playtech Q3 Interim Management Statement on the 29th of October, 2013. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mor Weizer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for joining us on this conference call to review Playtech's 2013 third quarter performance. I'm Mor Weizer, Chief Executive Officer, and with me is Ron Hoffman, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I talk about our strategic and operational achievements this quarter, Ron will run through the numbers.
Thank you, Mor, and good morning, everyone. I am pleased to report a solid performance over a traditionally quiet period. You would have noticed that because of fluctuations in currency exchange rates, we have also included a set of constant currency comparators in this morning's statement. This is to give a better understanding of the underlying performance of the business. Total revenue was up 16% on a constant currency basis on prior year, with reported revenues of 90.6 million euros, an increase of over 1% over that reported in the second quarter. During the third quarter, the company decided to reduce marketing spend in what is traditionally the slowest part of the year. Despite this reduction, if we strip out the effects of the PokerStrategy acquisition, the services previously provided to William Hill and FX, total revenue increased by 10% compared to the prior year. Compared to the second quarter, after stripping out the effects of PokerStrategy, total revenue decreased by 6%. Looking at product verticals on a constant currency basis, our largest revenue line item, casino, was up 24% on the comparable period last year and up 1% on the second quarter. In particular, mobile was up by over 1.8 million euros, approximately 190% over last year. Mobile still only accounts for only 6% of total casino and provides a major opportunity for future growth. Out of the 24% growth, 12% was generated from new business, including Gala Coral, Paddy Power Live, Bet365, 365 in Spain, Ladbrokes, and Paddy Power in Italy. Services revenue was up 7% over Q3 2012, and up 13% over the previous quarter. After stripping out PokerStrategy and the William Hill Services contract, services revenue decreased 12%. As I previously indicated, the reduction was mainly due to the reduced marketing spend. To date in Q4, we are seeing an improvement in our revenues as marketing spend returns to a more normal level. When we acquired PokerStrategy in July, we said at the time that it was generating revenue at a run rate of 26.5 million euros. And I am pleased to say that run rate was maintained over the remainder of the third quarter, with PokerStrategy producing revenue of 6.5 million euros recorded in our services line item. Reported bingo revenue was 6% lower as a result of the significant drop in the sterling-euro exchange rate. On a constant currency basis, bingo revenue remained flat. Mobile bingo revenue has gained momentum and is now on a run rate of over 2 million euros a year. Interestingly, the mobile offering has been attracting a younger player demographic to the bingo network, which expands the potential player base. Sports was up 39% on Q3 2012, with Mobenga's mobile sports revenue growing significantly following the launch of several large licensees, including Italian licensees Gala Coral, and the growth of existing licensees as players moved from the traditional web-based offering onto mobile. Geniety, which has four live licensees, is gaining significant traction, and we're excited by its prospects. We have a strong pipeline of operators that have recognized the benefits of our sports technology and platform over our competitors. Poker contributed 3.2 million euros, representing approximately 3.5% of overall revenue. Poker remains a challenging market and was also impacted by certain one-off items and adverse exchange rate movements, resulting in a like-for-like decrease of 16%. The product remains an important vertical to our licensees within our broad product suite. We remain committed to its growth, as evidenced by the acquisition of Focus Strategy. VideoBet revenue continues to grow, increasing 7% on a constant currency basis. Revenues were lower than those recorded in Q2, which included certain one-off capital sales. During Q3, we deployed over 1,000 additional terminals, mainly in Mexico, which increased the total terminals to approximately 25,000, the full impact of which is expected to be seen from Q4 and onwards. We finished the quarter with cash balances of 523.2 million euros with no debt. We remain a highly cash generative business with strong cash conversion from adjusted EBITDA and continue to take a conservative approach in our treasury management operations. Looking at current trading, daily average revenues over the first 27 days of October were up over 12% compared to Q4 2012 and up over 5% to Q3 2013, reflecting continued strong growth in casino, sports, and seasonality. We are comfortable with consensus and market expectations and are confident there will be further positive momentum for the remainder of 2013 and beyond. I'll now head back to Mor.
Thank you, Ron. I'd like to present the main highlights and strategic actions taken in the last quarter and how the company is best positioned to continue its growth trajectory. During the third quarter, we continued to grow and improve the business, and we remain the supplier of choice for over 120 licenses. During the period, we developed and improved our market-leading technology and product reach in many areas, but particularly by developing our next-generation mobile offering, as well as expanding our sports betting and games portfolio, including launching additional leading global branded games. Casino, as evidenced by the numbers, continues to be our flagship operation, and the casino product continued to grow strongly, supported by new licensee launches, organic growth, and mobile technology. Casino continues to be one of the major growth engines for Playtech, and we see no reason why this should not continue. In mobile, Playtech is the leading provider of mobile solutions to the global digital gaming industry. Our award-winning Mobenga platform is transforming the way people bet and is enabling our sports betting operators to drive significant growth in both volume and margins. Sports betting is leading the way in the conversion to mobile, as evidenced by operators such as Paddy Power, which is already generating 64% of its overall digital sports revenue through mobile. Whilst it is early days for mobile casino, we are already seeing dramatic growth, albeit from a small base. During the last quarter, we launched 11 mobile casino games and mobile poker on both HTML5 and native technologies. This is in addition to further launches of the mobile live offering. Our ability to combine best-of-breed mobile betting and gaming products, including third-party content for mobile, creates a significant opportunity for our licensees, which can now, for the first time, convert players from betting to gaming within the same application, thus maximizing their returns on their marketing spend and cementing Playtech's position as the supplier of choice in this ever-evolving and exciting area of the business. In parallel, we are focused on continuing the development of our unique technology platform that will enable operators to maximize player values and profitability through cross-selling not just between mobile product verticals, but also across all channels, be it online, mobile, and land-based. Turning to Bingo, we continue to gain new licenses for Bingo and work to enhance our offering further, now enabling a mobile solution to all licenses. Towards the end of the quarter, we launched an open platform enabling our licenses to launch third-party side games, which we believe will be highly popular, further strengthening its position as the largest and best bingo network. Regarding poker, the acquisition of Poker Strategy has enhanced our overall product offering and is performing in line with our expectations. Let me remind you that poker is a key offering into regulated markets, and the Poker Strategy business is highly complementary to our existing offering. We are confident that this acquisition is another great addition to the Playtech family. A key focus for the company has been the development of our sports offering, which we see as a significant growth opportunity in one of the most important areas of the business, one that is usually the first to be regulated, acting as the gateway into new markets. Our Geneity product, which is only just beginning to gain traction, is a technologically sophisticated, flexible, and superior sports betting solution for this key vertical. It is also highly complementary to other product verticals and builds on the benefits of the IMS to enable operators to cross-sell players from sports to other verticals and drive player values. We are currently in advanced discussions with a number of major licensees to sign sports licenses using the Geneity platform in various markets. I'd like to update you on the Ladbrokes migration, and I'm pleased to say that the transition to Playtech's product suite is performing in line with our expectations. We feel that the license agreements closely align both companies, and we look forward to demonstrating the superiority of our offering in its entirety in due course. With respect to the cash on our balance sheet, we are assessing a number of potentially interesting opportunities that would drive value accretion in the business. We continue to investigate all opportunities for both larger transactions that can take Playtech to the next level, along with further bolt-on acquisitions, to either reinforce our current product and content offering or to expand our existing product portfolio. I would like to finish by saying that Playtech has many areas in which to produce meaningful future growth, actively seeking opportunities in sports, mobile, the rollout of additional video bet terminals in international jurisdictions, opportunities in lottery, further JVs, and expansion into additional regulated jurisdictions. These opportunities are supplementary to both our existing organic growth and the increase in our licensee base. Before we take your questions, I would like to say how much I am looking forward to working with Ellen Jackson, our new chairman, and Hillary Stewart-Jones, our new non-executive director. Both bring many years of experience in the gaming sector and are a significant asset to the board. Operator, could we take any questions now?
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. There will be a short pause while participants register for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from Richard Carter of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. A couple of questions from me. Firstly, can you just explain why you didn't talk about this seemingly change in services strategy at the interim results where you've cut marketing spend? And could you also just confirm, if I heard correctly, did you say that services decreased 12% year-on-year, excluding poker strategy and the William Hill changes?
Yes, hi, Richard. How are you?
The
answer is yes on your second question. It was 12% on a like-for-like basis, meaning excluding the William Hill revenues, which were recorded last year but no longer relevant this year, and the exclusion of poker strategy as well, yes.
Okay.
With respect to the question on the marketing spend strategy, this was basically a strategy that was established during the quarter. It wasn't that visible in the beginning of the quarter, definitely not in the revenue numbers, and there was a question on how visible it would be. At some point, obviously, it became visible, so now, as part of the reporting of the quarter, it is important to mention that. With that being said, we're back to pretty much normal levels of marketing spend. We see the numbers growing. We've seen the number of PTTS in Q4 going back to closer to where they are before. But again, it's seasonality as well on top of that. So I do believe Q4 will look significantly better than the Q3 for PTTS, also on the back of seasonality and the return of marketing spend. But we will report that shortly.
But would you say, if we're looking at this year-on-year in Q4, that given the changes with William Hill, that you're going to be sort of you know, you're going to be down high single-digit revenue in PTTS in Q4.
No, I don't think so. I think we'll be in line with what we reported in the past. I think looking also in the interims, we're pretty much in line with last year, you know, taking into account the fact that there is also investment into the Ladbrokes agreement, obviously. I think we'll end up this year pretty much in line with last year, excluding the revenues coming from the William Hill agreement back then.
And what is that? Is that 1 or 2 million? A million a quarter or something?
No, on the revenue side, it was
from William Hill.
6 million annually.
Yeah, okay. And then, secondly, is it possible to give what an underlying organic growth rate was in Q4? I mean, I know in the interims you talk about 15% and 11 from new business and 4 from existing. Do you have a sense for what the underlying organic growth rate was in Q3?
It was pretty much split, meaning I think it's around 60-40, 60 goes to new business and 40 goes to organic growth.
Do you have a figure, though?
I will do the calculation and send you afterwards if that works.
And then just in terms of current trading, is it possible to strip out the poker strategy acquisition just to give us an idea of underlying trading?
Yeah, if poker strategy basically is in line with Q3, so we don't see a dramatic change in their numbers. It continues to generate at the run rate of 26.5 million euros annually. So the growth is pretty much from other areas.
So if I was to strip out poker strategy, the 12% increase year on year falls to what, about 6 or 7%?
It will be a little bit higher. It would mean
8%.
It would be
8% the underlying trend.
Yes, it would be. I mean above that. Sorry, because if poker strategy is pretty much at the same level of 6.5 for
it wasn't. It wasn't in last year, so I'm looking at versus last year.
Oh, you're talking about versus last year.
Yeah.
Sorry for that. So, yes, when we look at the... It would be around 8%, if not more.
Yeah, so roughly about 4% is driven by the poker strategy acquisition. And then just on sports, I noticed sports is obviously down quite a bit quarter on quarter, but that was driven... There was some one-off fees, was there, in Q2?
It was driven by some one-off fees and the fact that there weren't many sports events during that period. Obviously, that changes in Q4 and onwards.
As you know, Richard, July is a quiet period for sports betting operators. So the seasonality, and it comes back also to the question about the informed decision to reduce the marketing spend, which is linked, by the way, to the rollout of certain sports betting products, additional sports betting products, including Mobenga, to some of the licenses that are driven by PTTS. And obviously, it was an informed decision. We do expect to see growth and outperform others in the fourth quarter.
And there is a significant pipeline going forward for sports as well that has to be mentioned.
Okay, and then just finally, on video bet, you've talked about rolling out 1,000 new machines in Q3, and you expect to see some good traction in Q4. Could you just give us a little bit more detail on video bet? I think, you know, we've all been slightly disappointed with the traction here. I mean, do you think you're now getting to a point where you've got better visibility in terms of machine deployment over the next 12 to 18 months?
I think that we are getting there. We always said, and I will reiterate it on this call again, the sales cycles when it comes to land base are longer, and it includes usually the deployments are gradual, given the fact that it always starts with a pilot in order, because there are limitations to the physical premises. People would like to know that they maximize their returns on each and every part of the premises, and therefore usually it involves pilots. We are very successful in the pilots we do. We do have good visibility over the deployment of additional machines going forward in the next 12 to 18 months. We take a medium to longer term view on that. I think that you won't find too many companies that deployed already 25,000 VLTs, including some of the most well-established providers of VLT machines. Obviously, some of which are public companies, you can check that, and they have less than 25,000 machines. So I think that we do lead the way. We take a medium, longer term view on VideoBet, but this is, we do see the deployment accelerating over the course of the next quarters.
Thanks, Mor. Can I just ask one final question, Mor, to you? I know we've had this conversation before, but in terms of a lot of people writing about the cannibalization of mobile, do you think it's more of where the technology is? So if you look at a Paddy Power that have a single sign-up, they seem to be growing the mobile gaming side very effectively with the sports, yet some of the peer group don't seem to be there yet. So do you see this as just a technology and investment issue, and therefore as the peer group and as a lot of your licensees catch up to a market leader like Paddy Power, would you expect to see a significant acceleration in the mobile gaming side of their business and obviously subsequently your business?
The answer, I will say the following. The answer is definitely yes. However, it will take a little bit of time, and I will explain quickly. What happened is that mobile is not different, not much different when you compare to web applications, and obviously 64% now being generated on Paddy Power doesn't mean that the business grew by 64%. So definitely a lot of these players that used to place bets on web applications using laptops and PCs are now doing that through mobile. We all know that the math of the business is such that the sports betting acts as the gateway, but most of the people, the better ones, the better operators, convert the players to gaming applications, and this is where they make most of their profits. Accordingly, I don't think that the technology is an enabler. It will not change the dynamics or the fundamentals of the business. What the reason some of the operators showed some soft numbers, call it, is partly because they were very successful, and I think that we were very successful in rolling out our Mobenga platform to some of the largest operators out there, such as Coral, William Hill, Paddy Power, and others, and soon Ladbrokes. Definitely, it was very successful for the operators, but they lack the gaming products, which we now roll out. We increase the number of games. I believe that over the course of the next 2-3 quarters, we will see an acceleration, and this is our intention, to release more games on mobile, a lot more games on mobile. And once, as the number of content, the number of games and the content will grow on mobile, they will have more ability to convert between betting and gaming, and we will see the numbers growing and the business performing strongly.
Okay, perfect. And how significant do you think it is to get the single sign up? I mean, just from my own experience, it's a nightmare trying to remember all the different passwords going from gaming into sports and into bingo and everything else. So you've talked about Mobenga, you know, going to roll out single sign up. I mean, that feels to me that that could be quite significant. So could you just, what's the timing on that?
We say that. It's not arrogancy, but the future is here. It already exists, and some of our licensees already rolled it out. It does exist in the market. I'm happy to say that Playtech now, gaining access to Mobenga and developing, by the way, the gaming platform for mobile was developed in close cooperation and was led by Mobenga in order to ensure that the single sign-on will exist in mobile. And we have a unique opportunity because for the first time we have the ability to have a real single sign-on between betting and gaming application in a mobile environment. The timing of that is, again, it will take another quarter, 2 quarters, 3 quarters before many of our licensees will have it. I am happy to say that most of the larger licensees are already doing that now. As you probably noticed, Coral already has it, and others are rolling it out now. Part of their success and the fact that they exceeded our expectation is down to the single sign-on, the ability to convert on mobile, and all being powered by the IMS, being the infrastructure, and the wallet being one wallet across all of those. It's just a matter of time. It exists, and we do encourage our licensees to roll it out because we believe that it creates significant upside opportunities for them.
Okay, the final question, just on this subject. In terms of the single sign-on, single wallet, is there also a need of the licensee to obviously invest as well to develop that, to facilitate the Mbenga, or is it all driven by Playtech?
It is all driven by Playtech. Obviously, okay. It's done in close cooperation with dedicated teams to answer the specific needs of each and every licensee.
Okay, Mo. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Simon Davis of Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Morning. A couple from me, please. Firstly, on sports, can you give us a split within the sports vertical between Mbenga and Genaity? And in terms of your comments on your confidence in the pipeline for new contracts for Genaity, can you quantify that? You talked about four existing licensees. What kind of run rate do you think we should be looking for in a year's time?
Hi, Simon. How are you? First of all, with respect to sports, still most of the sports revenues are generated by Mbenga. So it is definitely the majority of the revenues. Genaity currently is approximately at the level of 3 million annually. It's really just the beginning for it, but we have a very significant pipeline. We're talking about an additional 5-6 secured contracts that will be deployed pretty much in 2014. Or most of it in 2014, so we will start seeing the revenues coming in then. How big it can be, it's too early to say. I would say that it will definitely grow dramatically, but it comes from a very small number. So obviously not that difficult on that basis, but it is bigger size of licensees, and it will be very interesting to monitor that in 2014.
Simon, let me just add to that some of these projects that are now underway are existing businesses that will be migrated to Playtech. So we have good visibility over that. Having said that, obviously, we haven't migrated so far, so we will be very cautious with just guessing the numbers. We know that the numbers will be significant. We know that it's gaining traction. It looks very, very positive. The reaction from the market and people that operate our system is that we have a superior system compared to others, and we're definitely going to leverage that. When you combine that with Mbenga and the gaming applications, best-of-breed gaming applications, including the largest liquidity pools in poker and bingo, I would say that Playtech is in a very, very good position going forward.
Great. Secondly, can you give us an update on social? Any new B2B licenses signed? When are you going to launch the B2C product? And at what stage do you think you'll get to break even on the social business after taking into account the Skywind license payments?
Yeah, so if I refer to the Skywind agreement, it is divided between two. It has two parts to it. The first part is obviously it is a few B2B access to mobile developers, more than 100 mobile developers who are experts in their field. And obviously, the applications that they developed, we have full access to those. They are being sold, and obviously, all interests are kept with Playtech, and all the revenues will be recorded as Playtech revenues. To elaborate on that, maybe I will just mention, if you go to, for example, the second brand that Paddy Power rolled out called Roller. It was developed by the assets we gained access to, and it is extremely successful. And obviously, given if I go back to my statement earlier about the lack of content, the ability to provide more content, best of breed applications, mobile applications to our existing real money gaming operators, definitely it's a real upside for them, and they are very excited, and we secured a lot of those deals, and we believe that it will generate a lot of revenues, and we will see significant income from these new contracts, new license agreements that are derived from the Skywind agreement. As for the second part, we are in discussions with regards to licensing the product, However, I will say that we also have some intentions to launch a B2C offering, given the fact that obviously it does not compete with our licensees. We will launch it to cement, to create liquidity and also cement the strength of the product. And then obviously it will be followed by licensing agreements. We do intend to do that later this year. The first beta will go live towards the end of the year. It's an exciting project, it's an exciting product, and we believe that it will be followed by B2B license agreements. When it will be breaking even, I think that the run rate, it will break even as soon as we roll out those applications, both the B2B roller type products as well as the social gaming product, and I expect it to happen in the first quarter of next year.
Great, thanks. And just one last quick one. Just on the subject of single sign-on, single wallet, can you just confirm whether Ladbrokes, when they launch on the Banga platform in December, will have both single sign-on and single wallet?
This is obviously depends on their contractual arrangement that they have with their current supplier. Obviously, as soon as they will migrate their casino product and product poker product to Playtech, in the beginning of next year, around end of April, beginning of May, then obviously we will have a single sign-on, one wallet approach, or they will have it. And between now and then, they will launch the Mobenga product. And there is a phased product project plan that will allow us to launch the Mobenga application, and soon after that roll out other additional products that will be obviously integrated with Mobenga, and then once we will be able to do that, add the casino and poker both for web and the web and the mobile, and this will happen in May.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from James Hollins of Investec. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, morning. Three for me. First, very quick one. You talked of poker one-offs in Q3. I know it's very small these days, but tell us what those are and what they accounted for. The second one is on Mobenga. I probably should know this. Is the revenue model straight or standard revenue share, or is it project fees? And that's why you're being so strong at the moment. And the final one is perhaps give us a bit more on your investment in Ladbrokes. So are you effectively putting a lot of money and time and effort into it already, or are you fully on the sidelines until MGS come out next April? And if that is the case, when would you expect to be sort of singing and dancing on that one? Thanks very much.
Hi, James. How are you?
With
respect to your first two questions on poker, there were basically some credits made in poker in this period related to some commercial discussions with certain licensees. Obviously, I can't comment on the specifics, but these are one-offs and not really ongoing, and it comes on the back of longer agreements, et cetera, et cetera. I won't get into the details. The Mobenga business model is we have a few options, but basically it's a combination of a, call it a fixed setup fee. So basically the team are customizing the solution per the licensee's specifications and requirements. This comes with a specific setup fee charged to the licensee, so in pretty much a one-off charge, and an ongoing charge, which is either a rev share model, a standard rev share model from NGR or from NetWin, basically, or alternatively a fixed fee per transaction, which means that we count the number of transactions, and there is a fixed fee made per transaction, which is normally, it's just another way of calculation, but it's pretty much at the end of the day another way to get the rev share, only on a different basis.
Just to clarify, James, it's not a fixed fee or dedicated team like what exists in or provided by other sports betting providers. This is rev share transaction-based arrangements that basically support growth as our licensees grow their mobile sports betting mobile sports betting activity.
Great. Yeah, I assumed it might have been yeah, a bit like OpenBet, but okay, cool, that's fine. Thanks.
As for the third question, obviously this is a question for Ladbrokes, it's not for us. But obviously we work in close cooperation given the project and the product rollout planned in the coming quarters. And definitely I think that it's in line with our expectations. As you know, we launched our Vegas games platform with them. We expect to launch mobile between now and May. We expect to launch the Mobenga mobile sports betting solution, as well as live, which will be followed then by poker and casino. In between, we will revamp the whole infrastructure. Obviously, they are going through a transition phase. Whether we believe that they, as soon as they have all the ingredients that are now being put in place, whether they will be able to perform strongly, the answer is definitely the case. And we look forward to demonstrating the superiority of our offering. And we definitely think that they do the right things. It just takes time.
Cool. Just going back to something you said there, launching Ladbrokes on Mobenga, I think we're all thinking December. I think you said between December and May. Perhaps clarify what I should be thinking on that one.
It will be sooner rather than later, and it is. I refer to both Mobenga and Live. Yes, Mobenga is expected before the year ends, which followed by the launch of Live, and then obviously... additional products as we will be able to do that given their existing contractual arrangements.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from Gavin Kelleher of Goodbody Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just two from me. Just on current trading, Ron, can you confirm that ex-poker strategy, what the underlying rate of growth would have been? Was it 4% underlying ex-poker strategy, or is it 8%? And then on the cash position, $523 million at the end of the quarter, can you just detail for us how much deferred considerations you have outstanding, and as well as that, any one-off cash outflows since the end of Q3?
Yes. Hi, Gavin. How are you?
Not too bad.
With respect to your current trading question, the number is, I would say, 8% and above, excluding the poker strategy, additional revenues. With respect to the second question on cash, we have the outstanding payments for PTTS, the final outstanding payment for PTTS, which will be paid in January 2014, and this is in the amount of 28 million euros. In addition to that, the only payment which was made actually yesterday was the dividend made for the interims, which was in the amount of 23 million euros. So 23 plus 28, these are basically the additional payments out of our cash pile.
Okay. There was no other one-off payment since the end of September?
Nothing major that I can think of, no.
Okay.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. Our next question comes from Victoria Greer of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Could I ask, first of all, just on geographic split? In this morning's statement, I think that the Asia, rest of the world splits are different for Q3 12 than they were at the time. So I think this morning's statement has Asia as 23% of revenue in 2012 and then 12% rest of the world. But in the statement at Q3 12, it's 29% Asia and 6% rest of the world. So could you just clarify which was right, please?
Sorry, apologies. I think you're talking about the Q3 2012 versus the historic announcements made back then in Q3.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Basically, what was changed is the fact that we used to report Asia Pacific, including Australia, that we thought was basically sort of not presenting properly the allocation. So what we decided is to split Australia outside and just to report Asia
Asia countries as a standalone, and this is why the numbers have slightly changed.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. The second thing, and I'm sorry if this is a stupid question, but you're a B2B operator, and that includes NPTTS. So how does reducing marketing spend in the quarter affect the revenue growth rate? Can you just clarify that for me?
Sorry, I apologize. I'm not sure I understand the question.
So when you were talking about the PTTS growth rate in Q3, you said that it had been affected by a reduction in marketing spend.
Mm-hmm.
How does that, you're a B2B operator, what's your marketing spend got to do with the revenue growth rate?
Oh, okay, understood. The business model for PTTS with, basically it can do it on a variety of business models, but a significant part of their business is the fact that PTTS expenses the marketing costs for their licensees, for its licensees, to get a bigger share of the revenues. So basically, for the sake of argument, they get let's say 50% of the revenues, and they do the marketing. PTTS is the one actually expensing the marketing itself, paying for the marketing of for the, those licensees, and
okay.
Allocating those. So obviously, an informed decision to decrease the marketing spend has an effect eventually on the revenues of the operator, and therefore effect on the revenue that they generate from the operator directly. Now this is the timing difference, basically.
Okay, so who's making the decision about reducing marketing spend? Is it PTTS or is it the operator?
It is the combination of PTTS and the operator, but in essence, it is PTTS making the sort of having the quality decision making.
Just to clarify that, basically the business model is rev share. We invest the money and then obviously take a very big rev share. This is the model that PTTS provides to a number of customers, and this is the arrangement all across. The ultimate decision to reduce the marketing, it lies with the operator, not with PTTS. However, given the fact that it's driven by PTTS, PTTS recommends to the operator, because they operate it for the operator, they basically come up with the marketing plan. Usually, what we do within PTTS is that the people within PTTS evaluate the market conditions. When they realize that it's better to shift some of the investments that will be made to the fourth quarter and onward in the first quarter, who are traditionally stronger quarters, we take this suggestion or this recommendation to the operator. Usually the operator accepts that, because obviously we present them with market conditions, with performance of other companies, with market analysis. Just to summarize that, the recommendation is made by PTTS. The ultimate decision lies with the operators.
Okay, thank you. So it's basically a phasing of marketing spend rather than...
Absolutely, and this is why I reiterated, just to reiterate it, we do expect that in the fourth quarter and the quarter following the first quarter, which are stronger quarters, we will see growth in the business and the PTTS performance.
Okay, thank you. You talked about negative currency moves affecting the quarter, and I think during the call you mentioned sterling euro specifically. Is that the main one? And also, can you give us any guidance for potential currency effects for the full year?
I think I can't comment on how the currency exchange rate will look like in the future, obviously. But I obviously, 29% or 28% of our revenues are coming from the UK, denominated in sterlings. Obviously, there is a significant effect by the fact that we're reporting in euros, and we have a diversity of currencies. There is sort of an inherent hedging by the fact that also we have some costs in sterlings as well. But when we look at revenues on the standalone basis, and obviously the sterling was almost 8%, if not even slightly more, weakened compared to last year, it has an effect on our top line, and take 29% out of that on our top line, it's pretty significant and needs to be mentioned in order to properly evaluate. And again, this is only because we report in euros. Other than that, we didn't identify any significant changes that are worrying for us.
Okay, but on the current spot rates, would there be an impact for the full year, or has it recovered?
The current spot rate, I think there will be. If I'm not mistaken, the changes in the sterling euro exchange rate from last year started in the beginning of this year. So there will be, even if we look full year compared to 2015 compared to 12, I believe there will be an effect. It will probably be more moderate than on the quarterly level, but I believe we will have an impact.
Okay, and then the last thing I just wanted to ask was on mobile games. I think you said that you'd launched 11 mobile games in Q3. How many do you have in total now?
How many do we have? We have, sorry for the background noise.
We're just going to put the call on mute a second. We're having a fire alarm in our building here. Please bear with us.
It's a real fire alarm, I'm afraid, guys. So I'm very sorry to say that we're going to have to cut the call short. If you do have any further questions, please email Adam Kay or myself, Holly Scott, and we'll endeavour to get answers to you as quickly as possible. Very many apologies for this. But I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to catch up sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.